from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think that there's turnover in the NFL every year. I mean, you're not expected to have the same guys for the next 20 years and have the same staff and everything like that. So there's always going to be turnover. As professionals, it's our job to go in there and make it work, right? So I'm not one to put predictions out there, but I'm fairly confident in what we got going in Buffalo. All the guys we brought in are great dudes on and off the field, and they're picking it up. I thought OTAs ran really, really well, and everybody worked really well together. So I'm excited, and the best part is we're going to find out together. So we'll see.
Bills right tackle Spencer Brown on Eric Woods Centered on Buffalo podcast. He will, along with the other 90 teammates, be on the field at St. John Fisher on Wednesday. Training camp week, we're here. Some teams already have checked in around the league. The Chiefs and the Ravens, most notably, because they'll play in the season opener, so they get to go a couple of days earlier. And you're already getting some of those training camp fantasy blurbs to my phone, like the fact that Kadarius Toney apparently is running back now, or at least he's just getting snaps and running back. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a comment or a question to get in with Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, now on the Wester Hotline. Morning, Joe. How's your summer going?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? Going well. It's hot down here in North Carolina. I'm excited to get up to Rochester next week, where a cooler weather hopefully awaits me.
All right. It's been 70s and sunny for the most part. So, but by your luck, it's going to be 95 and humid, though, come next week.
No. Please, no.
Little overcast would be nice. We'll see. It looks like I looked for what at least later in the week looks like, and it looks pretty mild. So, should be pretty good. All right, camp. So, you're coming next week, you said?
Yeah, I'll be in next week. Practice on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then the blue red on Friday. So excited to get eyes on this football team with all the new that's going on. It should be exciting.
Is it the Joe Marino, if you want to follow him on Twitter, by the way, and of course Locked On Bills podcast, also Locked On NFL scouting podcast with Kyle Krabs, which you could listen to. Is this camp the most interesting and curious start of the football season for the Bills since what? Allen was a rookie, or maybe Allen in year two, because we were still trying to figure out what he was. Like, does this camp feel different to you than the past couple?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And I think it starts with all the new pieces around Josh Allen, and just the simple fact that Khalil Shakir is your only wide receiver that's caught a pass from Josh Allen in the game. What does that look like? And is Dalton Kincaid ready to really take off at tight end? And how does this offensive line transition go? You got two new coordinators. There's just so many layers to this football team this year that are unknown. And getting eyes on that at training camp definitely positions this year to be one of the most interesting camps that I've been part of, and certainly in a long time in Buffalo, as we try to connect the dots and figure out what this football team is going to be.
What do you think we're going to see and from Keon Coleman? I think most people's eyes are immediately going to get drawn to him when camp begins this week. I know that will be me for sure when I'm watching. In terms of where you were pre-draft, where you are now, if that's even all that different, and kind of how the Bills have talked about him, Bean has said he's going to play the X. There was a comment in minicamp about him, you know, maybe not being asked to do everything at Florida State, and that's a little bit of a work in progress. But I also want to jump to, like, it's a red flag to hear that in minicamp. So I don't know, where are you at on Coleman right now before we get going with, you know, with pads and preseason games and whatnot?
Well, he's definitely someone I'm interested in really getting eyes on at camp, and I agree with you, a lot of interest there. I think the X receiver reps are going to be really competitive. I mean, Keon Coleman firmly in the mix, but so is Marcus Valdes-Scantling, so is Chase Claypool, so is Mac Hollins, who feels like a player that the team really likes. And so is Keon Coleman going to be the guy that gets the majority of the snaps? How many does he get? I think we'll start to get an idea at training camp and just how they rotate players in and out. I mean, in the past, you knew it was Gabe Davis, right? There's no questions asked. That guy's going to play 80%+ of snaps on a weekly basis. I think it could be spread out a little bit more this season, and it could be kind of game plan specific if there's a certain skill set that they want to unleash. You know, if they want to go vertical, maybe it's a Marquez Valdes-Scantling game. Maybe they want to use Keon Coleman's physicality and size to win leverage battles and use RPOs and glance routes. You know, maybe it'll be a Keon Coleman game. Maybe they want to run the ball and do a bunch of perimeter screens and they believe that Mac Hollins is the best blocker. Maybe it's a Mac Hollins game. You know, I think there's so many possibilities with this X receiver position, and certainly Keon Coleman factors in a big way, but how soon? And, you know, he's very young, very young player, still relatively new to being full-time in football. And so all of that puts a lot of questions in my mind about just how big the role is in year one. And, you know, I see projections all over the place. I'm seeing some, projections that are thinking 70 to 90 targets for Keon Coleman this year. And I think that'd be a healthy amount if that's where he can fall. But I think we'll start to really get some clarity on that throughout the next coming weeks, and certainly something I'll be paying close attention to.
Joe, Nate here. I wanted to ask you specifically about the X position in Joe Brady's offense, because I'm not here to tell you that every single play of Gabe Davis's career was this way, but I think that largely that X position, especially in an offense with Josh Allen, is that backside, you know, clear route, go route, nine route, whatever you want to call it. It's not like Gabriel Davis was back there running tons of varieties of routes. We know he was that down the field threat, did a lot of great stuff in terms of blocking as a wide receiver. But largely that was a clear out guy. And when you have Josh Allen, you want a guy in almost every route concept, Joe, that's going deep down the left-hand side, the backside of the field, because Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, maybe Justin Herbert, maybe there's another quarterback out there. Like, those are the types of quarterbacks with the arm strength that even after a 3 or 4 second count, if the fourth read on a play is a backside go, Josh Allen can still hit that throw. And he's shown a willingness to throw that football even after, 3 or 4 seconds in the pocket. I guess my question for you is, if that is still the role in this offense, even with Joe Brady's offense being, sort of integrated in, does that change to you who you think will be in that role? Or if you think that Joe Brady is going to massage this role a little differently than we've seen in years past with Gabriel Davis, if that maybe leads you to lean more towards one guy or another?
Well, I think you outlined very well the X receiver role as it related to Gabe Davis. I would hope that given new skill sets that it evolves a bit. Not only that, but it's fully Joe Brady's system now, right? It's not him taking over Ken Dorsey's or, Brian Daboll's system. You heard Josh Allen talk about, hey, we're not doing the same mundane things. And so I feel like there is going to be a lot of structurally new things. And I think that would certainly lend itself to the X receiver position, where I think it will have some differences to it. Part of me feels like Keon Coleman and really any of the X receivers, they're going to ask them to win leverage battles and then win off script, right? I think that's the big thing. X receiver on the line of scrimmage, heavyweight battles, facing press coverage. Can you clear contact and can you make DBs play through you? And so I think that's going to be the most important part. And I think you look at the size of these receivers the Bills have brought in, and certainly that feels like an element of it, in addition to all the blocking elements that I think will be really important. But I think the other piece of it is the verticality of that X receiver position, and not necessarily that these guys are going to win foot races and just outrun corners and win goal balls. But, you know, when things do break down, that these guys can find space and win with size and ball skills down the field. So in some ways, that piece being similar to Gabe Davis, and I thought one of the best things that Gabe Davis did in his time in Buffalo was get on top of corners vertically and create that vertical leverage for Josh Allen to fit the football. Hopefully we see some more consistency with this new cast of characters, but I do think it's an evolving role that could look different based on who they're playing in terms of opponent and what player that leads to them putting in that spot.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills on the Western Hotline. He's got his training camp primer out wherever you listen to podcasts. While we're on receiver, just to kind of wrap the position, which is, of course, is going to, I think, get the most headlines throughout camp. So Curtis Samuel has kind of proven, at least to some degree, that he could play any spot in the NFL, and that includes even the backfield a little bit. Where are you in comparison to others? And I would say most of the time I see on Khalil Shakir that he right now, and maybe forever, is mostly slot but can bounce outside. Are you thinking there's more to come for him and is someone that can, maybe even like Samuel, be someone, not like Cole Beasley where you kind of always knew where he was going to play, but Shakir is someone that you could see play in three different spots given the formation?
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. I think there's some inside flexibility with those players. I think it's fair to say they're probably at their best in the slot, but that doesn't mean that they're exclusive slot players, to your point about Cole Beasley. Like, you can definitely get more out of the versatility that these guys offer. And that's a fascinating layer to me. I don't think we've seen a multifaceted playmaker that's primarily a receiver in a while like this that can open some creative elements to the offense. And I think, you know, you consider the Bills were pretty tight when it comes to salary cap space. This was the most notable contract that they handed out to an outside free agent. And so there's definitely a vision here, certainly familiarity with Joe Brady and, you know, what that season was in Carolina, over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. The most carries of his career came under Joe Brady. And so I think there's probably 30 to 50 carries for Curtis Samuel this year. I think there's inside-outside opportunity as a receiver. I think they're going to really enjoy the quick separation. And a lot of those perimeter screens that we saw go to Diggs last year, I think those now go to Samuel. And maybe you get a little bit more interested in what those look like. But then the last piece of the Curtis Samuel equation this year to me is, do they involve him as a kick returner? And certainly with the new kickoff rules, there's going to be so much for us to figure out. And I think it's going to be a season-long journey. And I think it's going to be so fluid, but when you think about attractive options for returning kicks, I look at Ty Johnson, I look at Curtis Samuel, and given the perceived safer elements of this play, are you more apt to playing, your more featured pieces of your offense as a kick returner? And Curtis Samuel seems to have a really nice combination of skill when it comes to acceleration and speed, but also talented with the ball in his hands to create, and I think he could be an attractive option that way. So I think multifaceted is the name of the game when it comes to Curtis Samuel, and I think he's going to be an important part of what this team wants to be in a number of phases.
Yeah, returner's interesting for him too, because I had not spent much of any of this offseason thinking about who will be the returner. Like, we've wondered like what it will look like, and we've had Sean Syed on Sumer Sports. He did all the XFL, film breakdown, and I've been looking up some numbers from the XFL just because me and Nate are in the Scott Fishbowl, and they added return yards this year. So I'm like, okay, well, who are the returners in the league? And then we get to the Bills, and it's, I mean, who are even the candidates, right? Like, you mentioned Samuel, Shakir maybe? Like, how many candidates would you even think there are going into camp for returner, or do you think it's completely wide open?
I think the leading candidates are Ty Johnson and Curtis Samuel. And my belief is that these kick returns are going to turn into kind of like outside zone rushes. And I think vision and contact balance are going to become the primary traits that you're looking for. Speed's always going to matter, right? If you can break pursuit angles, you're a problem, right? That definitely matters. But I think for the most part, if I were going to be forecasting who's going to get these return opportunities, I think it's going to be more running backs than it is like your traditional, you know, Deontay Hardy type players or like Andre Roberts, like receivers that have some speed. I think it's going to be more running backs. And I think Curtis Samuel is a unique player in this conversation because while he's primarily a receiver, you know, he's not small. I think that's an important thing. He's like 5'11", 200 pounds, right? He's not like a little guy. It's not like Isaiah McKenzie or anything like that. So I think he can be attractive for the role. It's just about exposure and, you know, if that's something they want to put on his plate. If it's truly a safer play that you're trying to get more explosive plays, and, you know, I'm not trying to diminish anyone's intelligence, but the further you start down the field, the more likely it is that you score, right? You want to put Josh Allen in advantageous positions to score. You know, maybe you do risk, quote unquote, to put a Curtis Samuel out there and try to get good field position.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Joe, I want to ask you, maybe the wrong saying is to put your GM hat on. In this situation, I'll say you're putting Brandon Bean's, you know, sunglasses on. You know the gif, of course. You're throwing on Brandon's sunglasses, and you're working right now as you head into training camp this week with about $10 million in salary cap space, effectively to, you know, if you need to, go get a veteran. Is there a position before you know of or before any potential injury pops up where maybe they need to make a move in free agency? You don't necessarily have to come prepared here with a name, but is there a position group, a specific player that might still be available? And there's a couple of safeties, obviously Quandre Diggs and Justin Simmons, both guys available. Is there maybe something you'd like earmarked as, this is a position that could go great, but there's a lot of unknowns?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. My preferred desire here would be for Brandon Bean to let it play out. You know, you got into week 9, or after week 9, November 5th is when the trade deadline is this year. Instead of, like, preemptively considering what your needs can be, why don't you just wait and find out? Like, see what your problems are, see who gets hurt, and then you have the cap space and you have tons of draft picks that you can part with to address a need that you know. Now, I know that's not your question. You asked me to look and consider, what is there something that I would have earmarked right now? I do think it is the safeties, to be honest with you. And it's not that I'm not comfortable with Mike Edwards / Taylor Rapp / Cole Bishop. It's just that there's players that are really good available, yeah, like a Justin Simmons and like a Quandre Diggs, that I think immediately upgrade one of those spots. And certainly based on the messaging and the contract, Taylor Rapp's going to be one of the starters, right? Sean McDermott came out and said this is his safety room. He's taking control. They gave him a 3-year extension after, you know, just getting exposed to him last year. He's going to start. Well, and you can certainly get excited about Mike Edwards. I really liked him in Tampa. I liked him at Kansas City. Versatile, ball skills, he's physical. But he's been a third safety. He's got a lot of run as a third safety, but he's been a third safety. Cole Bishop's a rookie that, I mean, I just felt like it was so quiet. All the reports on out of camp, OTAs and minicamp were just really not a lot saying about Cole Bishop. Where's he at? Is he ready to go? Certainly he's the future of the position. They invested a second-round pick in him. He's got a lot of athleticism, but what is he going to be right away? None of that stiff-arms me from looking at a Justin Simmons or a Quandre Diggs and feeling like, well, we can speculate and wonder if Mike Edwards is going to be great as 100% of the snap player, if Cole Bishop's ready to go. Or you can get these guys that have been great performers for the last several years, and if for a defense that, let's face it, safeties have been really important. I was just thinking through this morning as I did my training camp primer talking about safeties. There's two plays or there's two games where I thought, you know, the Bills didn't have Poyer or Hyde, and man, did it cost them. It was the Vikings game in 2022, right? All those ridiculous plays in the middle of the field. You wish you had Poyer and Hyde. And then it's the Miami loss in, was a week two or three, the Heat game, where the Bills outgained Miami by like 300 yards. They converted that, was it 3rd-and-18 or 3rd-and-22 to Jalen Waddle over the middle of the field. And it's Cam Lewis and, was it Dean Marlowe or something trying to defend that play. It's like, well, you know, I maybe Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde haven't really been those guys for the last couple of seasons, but having one of them in there was very much a stabilizing thing for that secondary. And so all that to say, yeah, if Simmons and or Diggs are, you know, if it makes sense, I'd certainly be calling those guys up and seeing if they can come and be a part of this.
The Waddle play we're talking is the week three play a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was that, it was 3rd-and-long. It won in the game.
It was 3rd-and-long. I think it was Jaquan Johnson and Damar Hamlin.
Yes,
I remember that play because
it wasn't Poyer or Hyde. That's
right. No, that was the exact thing. Like I remember thinking like that's what it looks like when Poyer and Hyde aren't back there. You can have it was only one play like that, but Poyer and Hyde never let plays like that go over the top. I wanted just before we wrap, Joe, I wanted to throw a corner at you because actually while you were talking, I was thinking. Like, right, like, I bet that's what they do, too. Like, they'll let it play out, see how camp goes, maybe they even go into the season before they want to use any of that money. If they do it all, I know you can roll some over.
Yeah.
And I was thinking corner when you said, we'll let it play out, because going into camp, it's Benford and it's Douglas, and I personally don't have any big question marks about either one of them.
Right.
But Kyrie Elam is the next man up, and they've had to use that next man up almost every year in recent memory. And of course, Elam has been so interesting for what they think of him. And going into this year, new DB coach, like, I wonder if he is, I don't want to say like he's kind of about to have a huge pressure camp. Of course, where he's at in his career, you would say that no matter what. I wonder if they're going to be watching him closely with a mind of if they still feel like they can't trust him at some point early on in the year, that maybe veteran corner becomes an idea to use that money on.
Yeah, I think it's worth bringing that up. And honestly, like you said, Douglas Benford, totally satisfied with them as starters. And Kyrie Elam as the third guy is really good. I think, you know, for as much as we talk about Kyrie Elam maybe not fulfilling the promise of being a first-round pick, I think a lot more of that's rooted in what Christian Benford's become than what Kyrie Elam is or isn't. Certainly feels like there's some trust issues. But when he's played, I mean, I watched the tape. He's been pretty good. He's made some really big impact plays, whether it was the interception of Mahomes in the red zone and a couple of years ago as a rookie, or the playoff interception against Miami, the tackle for loss against Miami in the playoffs, the pick this past season against Pittsburgh in the playoffs. It's like, all right, is this guy just need opportunity? Well, you're certainly not going to put him in over Douglas or Benford. And I'm curious to see if, you know, if he kind of goes into 2025 with Douglas in a contract year as the guy. But yeah, I mean, there's probably questions that we don't know the answer to that lead into this. And so their comfort level with Kyrie Elam should dictate any move that they make at corner. But I think the interesting thing about the corner conversation is, like you said, that the depth has been stressed. Dane Jackson has never been a preferred starter for the Buffalo Bills, yet he started 26 games over the last 3 years, right, including that playoff game against Kansas City that the Bills most recently lost. And so now you're in a situation where your third corner is Kyrie Elam, and your fourth one's Jamarcus Ingram. And I think there's a lot to like about Jamarcus Ingram as an outside corner, and he's been around the last couple of years in the practice squad, flashed at camp, flashed in preseason. He's virtually being handed the fourth outside corner job right now. His only real competition is Kyren Brown. And so whether it's your comfort with Kyrie Elam as CB3 or Jamarcus Ingram being handed CB4, I think there's a conversation to be had about adding a corner as well.
Joe, let me ask you one more quick one. I've maybe always taken this position for granted. I think the Bills have always found guys to do it and do it well, and the last couple of seasons is no different. Like Tyler Bass, to me, has been one of the best kickers in football over the last couple of seasons. And then really, and it wasn't just the culmination was the missed kick against Kansas City, but I think the signs or the concerns were relevant and I think maybe overly relevant in the weeks prior to that. Where is your confidence level with Tyler Bass going into the season?
Concern. Yeah, I mean, you think about kickers is they're typically good until they're not, right? We saw he struggled, right? Was he 2 of 5 in the playoffs? Had one blocked, the short one, missing from inside of 30. He was not consistent, and I didn't have a lot of confidence when he was lining up to make a kick. I mean, I said openly to the people in the room with me when watching that divisional round game against Kansas City, I said, he's not going to make this field goal. And he didn't make it, right? And I think, and I don't think anybody had a lot of confidence that it was going to go through the pipes. But everything that I've gathered, whether it's listening to Bean and McDermott, whether it's talking to some sources, I think the Bills are really committed to Tyler Bass. And if they were to move on, it would be expensive. It wouldn't really work with the salary cap. And you'd have to have confidence that this is actually going to be an upgrade. And we do have proof of concept of Tyler Bass being a good kicker, right? He was that for 3.5 seasons. I think he made his first 10 field goals and 16 extra points this past season before the bottom kind of fell out. So hopefully he refines his game. You know, the best thing, the best outcome here is him being the kicker the Bills are paying him to be, which I think is to make 90% of his field goals. That's what the best kickers do. That's not a high bar. There was like 11 kickers that made 90% this past season. So I think he was, with the playoffs included, in the 70%, 76.5%, something like that. It's not good enough. And definitely a position that I have a level of concern with, although my expectation is for the Bills to kind of ride it out with Tyler Bass.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, his training camp primer is out now wherever you get your podcasts. I feel like we could go another half hour, but there'll be time for that. Everything good? Family's all good?
Everything's good, guys. Hope the same is true for you.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, Joe. We'll see you at camp.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Joe Marino on the Western Hotline. Good stuff from him. We didn't have time to get into it too much there. We kind of mentioned it in passing. Joe is... I like to think I'm on this train. I feel like Joe might be more the conductor of it. That Christian Benford is number one corner good in the NFL. Like, there are some metrics on him. I think it was last year, separation prevented. I always remember that was the number where he had like the same, he was right there at the top of the list with like all the elite corners in the league. Same as Sauce Gardner. I don't know though that he'll ever get sixth round pick. Also, he wears number 47. I think that might be getting in his way too. He's got to change that number. Yeah. You can't be a star corner in the league wearing number 47. Eh. You're never going to get the respect you want wearing 47.
I kind of like it. This goes against
the grain. Name another good 47.
I can't.
Exactly.
I don't even know that I can name it in other sports.
The best number 47 in sports. Is it 47? Is it the worst number in sports? I'm having a tough time too right now. Maybe it's not great. Because what is it in football? It's like a depth running back number.
Andre Kirilenko.
No, like AK-47. This is his nickname. What's the?
There's only two Hall of Famers that wore 47: Mel Blunt and John Lynch. Those are the only two Hall of Famers that I see, at least in the NFL, that wear the best 47.
Okay, I think Christian Benford might have a look here.
47. This is just for whatever random things, but for the Lakers, storied franchise. No one's ever worn 47.
No one's ever worn it at all?
Nope, not for the Lakers.
It's definitely not a basketball number. It's not a normal. What's hockey? Defenseman? We'll do some research on this. I feel like Christian Benford might have a look at being the best 47 in sports history.
He might.
There's a take without doing any of the research. I think Christian Benford is a darn good football player. Like, number one corner. Maybe once Rasul Douglas is aged out. 803-0550 is the phone number. What are you looking forward to coming up with training camp? Also, I don't think we did this a lot last week. the Packers hype train needs to cool it just a little bit. It's going to run right off the tracks. Every day I'm seeing new things about the Packers model and blueprint. They won one playoff game. I'm excited about them too, but come on. Cooler Jets. Training camp on Wednesday. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.